Well, several Sundays ago, we had a wonderful ordination service here in our church. And I've been waiting for this day that I can introduce to you Pastor, Reverend, Arthur, Tyree Brown. Where are you? You went out. Here he is. Welcome him to the pulpit. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. What an entrance. What an entrance. Praise the Lord. Well, I came to speak a message today, but as you can see, all the song choices today really spoke the message today, you know. And I guess that's what we go get at here is ultimately about the call to missions is really giving yourself away. It's really about giving yourself away. And I just tell you something real quick. I didn't plan on doing this, but basically gave my life back to the Lord back in 97, right? And I had sensed the call upon my life real early in my walk to go into ministry. Didn't know what it would actually look like, but I just felt full-time ministry. That's where it was at for me. Went through a series of things, and now I can say up to this point in time, God saw that through. So that let me know that that was God's call for me. And I'm here, and I just want to give myself away to him. Amen. 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 All right. So we as Christians have a call to missions, right? That is to share the gospel anywhere and everywhere we go, anywhere God calls us to. Where is anywhere and everywhere for you? Have you ever said in your heart, wherever he leads, I'll go. We should be able to say this and mean it without fear or hesitation. Allow me to share something that the late Pastor Adrian Rogers said. God has a plan for us, and God will use us if we will let him. Even God can't feel that which is already full. I believe it would do us well to remember those words. A little over a century ago, a man named Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher and led D.L. Moody to Christ. Moody was like the Billy Graham of his day, but a tad bit different than Billy. Billy Graham was a very suave, educated, intelligent person, right? While on the other hand, D.L. Moody, he was one that was an orphan by the age of 4 and did not get a chance to have that type of education that he desired, that formal education at that point in time. This may encourage some of you. The last letter that Moody wrote before his death, it's been said that he had 40 grammatical errors. He may have murdered the King's English, but he didn't disappoint the King of Kings. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, what I learned about Moody is that he loved the Lord and God used him to move at that point in time two continents, of course, North America and Europe, for Christ. He ministered to a wealthy man named Edward Studd. This was a campaign that took place in England. Shortly after, a preacher visited the Studd home and shared the gospel with the family. And Charles Thomas Studd nicknamed C.T. Studd, Edward's son, he was converted to Christ. This is C.T.'s account. The preacher asked him if he believed God's promise to give believers eternal life. First, he only confessed that Jesus died. How many of us know that's only part of the gospel? That's all he could confess at that point in time, is that Jesus died. But the preacher continued on and shared some things with him. And eventually, C.T. Studd gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. Amen. Charles later recalled the moment. He said he got down on his knees and just said, "Thank you to God. Thank you. Thank you, God." And right then and there, joy and peace came into my soul. I knew then what it was to be born again. And the Bible, which had been so dry to him at the time, became everything to him. C.T. finished college. Soon after, one of his brothers became seriously ill. Confronted by this question, C.T., "What is all the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? What is it worth?" He admitted this from the time that he accepted Christ. He was about 6 years in, and guess what? He admitted it while he was living an unhappy, backslidden state. That's what he was in at the point in time when he admitted this. But as a result of this experience, he said, "I know that cricket," which he was a top athlete in. That's like what we would think about like football over here today. Cricket would not last. And he also said, "An honor would not last. And nothing in this world would last. But it was worthwhile living for the world to come." It's like, wow, sound like he had some repentance here. C.T. Studd was asked, "What motivated you to do what you did, to leave it all?" He was a man of great ability, great honor, great wealth, all according to the world's eyes. And this is what he said: "If Christ be God and died for me, there is no sacrifice that I can make that is too great for him." Amen. Amen. Who could say that with me and actually mean that? If Christ be God and die for me, there is no sacrifice I can make too great for him. Hallelujah. Amen. He's worth it. Amen, church. He's worth it. Amen. He is worth it. Every bit of it. C.T. Studd left all. He went to China and began what was one of the mightiest movements in modern-day missions that the world has ever known. God's ways are often unknown and unexplained, right? But this Sunday school teacher, Kimbo, had no idea how Moody would be used, right? Used in North America, used in Europe. But then Moody had no idea how C.T. Studd would be used. Here's one to ponder. Sometimes God has us travel under what? Sealed orders. Sometimes he has us travel under sealed orders. Just like in our text today, Philip had no idea how strategically God would use him. Yet he followed God's lead, trusted him step by step. This was proven through his obedience in sharing the gospel. This message, I hope, will be very, very exciting for us. Let us pray. Father, we just humble ourselves before you. Yes. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, creator of all things that have been created. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful plan of what we call salvation you have offered to us. Thank you, Lord, for opening up our eyes for those who know you. And I pray, Father, that you will open up the eyes and hearts of those that don't know you. We thank you for this, Lord. We praise you and honor you that you decided to use cracked vessels to share your glorious gospel, the life-saving message. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you for this. And may you get the glory. We truly believe that you will lead and guide us, Holy Spirit, throughout the rest of this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let me share some background first about Philip, which you could turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, but I'm going to share some background about Philip. Let me get myself there. So first of all, this is not the Philip, the disciple Philip. That's why I'm going to need to share a little bit more. That's more than one Philip, you know, in the Bible. So he was one of seven men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, and chosen to care for the poor in the Christian community in Jerusalem. That was in Acts chapter 6. That's just in a nutshell. After a severe persecution broke out against the church in chapter 8, where we'll be at today, we won't be at that particular part of it, but it's in the beginning of chapter 8, you'll begin to see that it was a persecution that began to actually take place. And Philip, he was one, remember, he was like what we would know today as a deacon. he served, right? You know, but when this persecution took place, he was one that went out and shared the gospel to the Samaritans. Which is quite interesting, and we'll get more into that a little bit later. This was a radical shift for this era, right? Yet Philip broke tradition and went to those who were hated by Jewish people, the Samaritans. They were half Jews. We know that here, right? Half Jews. They hated the Samaritans. In doing so, he followed the example of who? His master, Jesus. Who had ministered to who? The Samaritan woman at the well. That was John 4. So that's just nice to be able to see and put that together there. In our text today, we'll see how God orchestrated the plan for Philip to minister to one of the most influential men in East Africa, which opened the doors for the gospel on African soil.
Praise God.
Praise God. And God desires to use us,
amen.
Yeah, right, as well. but I must warn you that what our selfishness, our pride, our ambitions has no place in God's call to missions. We saw that today with all the songs we sung, right? Just not too long ago. Amen. So please, let us read, hear, and obey God's word for us today. Are you there? I'm quite sure you should be there now. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. We're going to read through that. And it says, and I had a home in Christian Standard Bible, so it may read a little different than whatever you have. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I? He said, unless someone guides me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about? Himself or another person? So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and evangelizing all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Wow. Praise the Lord. The call to missions, right? So Roman numeral one, the call to missions requires us to follow God's lead, to follow God's lead. In verse 26, we could easily see quickly that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and what did that angel say to him? Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Then we also could see in verse 27, immediately we see something. So he got up and went. I'm going to just leave it right there. He got up and went. The angel of the Lord told him to do something. He got up and went. Wow, quite interesting. So number one, when God, and under Roman numeral one, now we're number one, when God speaks or calls, it is vitally important to listen and obey. God was leading Philip one step at a time. Step one, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. At this point, Philip doesn't even know why he is to go there. And he could have had many questions. Like, first of all, where I'm going, right? Where you want me to go? And then, why me? Right? But if I could be take some liberty here, if the angel of the Lord was someone like some of our parents, and we asked those particular type of questions like where I'm going and then why me, probably would have heard him say, because God told you so. Yeah, God told you so, or God said so, period. Don't worry about where I'm sending you.
Just go.
Just go. Okay. So praise God. So we got a chance to see that it didn't happen like that in the scripture. But from the scripture, we can see that Philip followed God's lead. We can see that. Number two, when we trust God fully, you don't have to know the why to obey. Hear me out now. When you trust God fully, you don't have to know the why to obey. Yeah, that's real talk, right? I know of some present day examples that's following God's lead like that. And they are here, I think they are here in the congregation. One of them was Eric Brown, right? Remember, he got a chance to share his faith with the faculty and students at a Catholic high school. He asked for prayer, and he was following God's lead in that, right? Jackson Music. I remember a Wednesday night prayer. He was asking for prayer to be able to share the gospel with his neighbors, with a couple of neighbors. He was letting me know how hard it was. We've been talking about those things. I've been praying for him, and it's just like awesome to see that these young people are really trying to follow God's lead. Yeah, yeah, right. Because it's hope. Don't think they all out there bad and doing bad things. It's something that's doing God's work, right? And I'm gonna take just one more. Rachel Brownlee. Woo! She had to take a stance in college towards one professor that's actually an atheist, but God had used her throughout that process. And I thank God for that. Now, just know that I actually got a chance to talk to them and let them know, could I actually use your names, you know, in this? And they were okay with that. So praise God for that. I just wanted you guys to be able to see how God is really using our youth. And I would say, now I'll say young adults to youth, I mean, right? But praise God. When that took place for Eric, he was only a sophomore in high school, you know, in Jackson Music. He's, what, in junior high, a freshman now. So, yeah, so God is using him, and we have another college student, Rachel Brownlee, right? So God is using people. But I would like to say that age is not nothing, or I'm going to say it this way, ain't nothing, but a number, right? It ain't. You know, so praise God for that. So he uses the young and the veterans. Pastor Les, I don't want to get into any trouble up here. And we know you're going on like 40, 45 or something like that. Oh, 30 now. Oh, see, I'm still missing it. So I'm not trying to get myself in no trouble up here. So what I'm going to do is speak from the scripture, a certain veteran that I've seen that was following God's lead. Although there is many in this congregation that are veterans that's really following God's lead and helping disciple and mentor the youth coming up and the younger adults coming up, and I praise God for you. And I'm gonna just say this. I'm gonna give one big, great thank you for all of us that's being discipled and mentored by you guys. So praise God. Let's give them a hand, all right? And since there's so many of you, I didn't want to just choose one of you guys, you know, like, so I'm going to just pull one from the scripture. Remember when God led Abraham out of his homeland? Remember that? In Genesis chapter 12, you know, that's where that actually took place. He was about the age of 75 when God said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." That's what he said. So what did Abraham do? So Abram went. It was Abram at the time. Abram went as the Lord had told him. 75, praise God. We need you. Hallelujah, we need you. Hallelujah. So remember, the call to God's mission is to follow his lead. Let me give you a little bit of background about this Ethiopian eunuch as we get ready to move through the scriptures here. So who is the Ethiopian eunuch? He's from East Africa, therefore most likely had a brown complexion for skin tone. The punch here is that the gospel is now beginning to span to ethnic people and groups, meaning they had a different culture, a different religion, a different language, right? In this region, they served false gods, pagan, you know. So he was also in charge of the queen's treasury, and because he worked so closely with the queen, he had to become a eunuch. He is probably wealthy. He traveled that far, you know, to get to Jerusalem. He would have had to have, I think, some type of money there. And a God-fearer, one who fears the Lord, but does not enjoy the full membership in the Jewish community. Wow, now what that's all about. He loves God, right? This God-fearing eunuch would be granted access to the court of Gentiles, but would be denied access to the rest of the temple, you know, due to the Jewish law back in, I think that's, what's that, Deuteronomy 23:1. Yeah, so we won't go take a look at that. It's a bit graphic, but it's in the Bible. That's what actually took place, and that's what eunuchs are. What that's about there. So against all odds, this Ethiopian eunuch worships the Jewish God in Jerusalem, right? and then heads back home to Ethiopia, which was a long journey. But for those who have perceived the call to missions, that should be all Christians, right? Let's take notice of how God looks at a man who is not Jewish, but a Gentile Ethiopian, a man that is unclean by the fact that he is a eunuch, a man that a religious Jewish person wouldn't even be caught dead with. I mean, this is that type of guy, right? Let's see how God looks at that type of guy. God, in his mercy, calls Philip away from mass evangelism, because in Samaria, the Samaritans, that's what he was doing. Remember, after the persecution in the beginning of chapter 8, it was going on over there. Mass evangelism, right? You're talking about the Billy Graham stuff. I mean, it was going on there. But with the mass evangelism, where crowds was actually giving their life to the Lord. They was hearing the good news and they were giving their life to the Lord, but God called him away from that. You'll think, like, why would God call him away from where many people are giving their life to the Lord? This is why, I think. To visit this one man on a desert road traveling back to his false gods in his homeland. He was en route and literally traveling further and further away from the message of hope. That's what he's doing. Literally, he was. Because remember, that's where the gospel took off at, right? In Jerusalem. So literally, he was traveling further and further away from the message of hope. The message that changes everything. The gospel. I kind of stole that from Moody. I heard that on Moody. It's like, yeah, the gospel, right? That's what it does. It changes everything. It does. Listening to WCRF 103.3, it's just like, praise God. Praise God. So I heard that. I was like, oh, yeah, that works. So praise God. Let's look at this. Thank God. Thank God that he sent a man like Philip, right? He emptied himself so that God may fill him with his love for mankind. That's what we got to do. We got to empty ourselves for God to fill us with his love for mankind. That's the only way we're going to be able to really do missions, do the work of missions, right? That's it. The gospel is for everyone, regardless of where you come from, regardless of what you have done, regardless of where you have been. So the application of that in here is just to get up and go. That means continue whatever God has called you to do at this point in time. Work and wait. Wait for the next call. Work and wait. Wait for the next call. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Roman numeral 2, the call to missions requires us to trust God step by step. Let's look at Acts again, chapter 8, verses 29 through 34. I'll get there myself. And it says, the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot, right? When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about, himself or another person? Go and join that chariot. Number one here in under Roman numeral 2, trusting God calls for continual obedience. The Holy Spirit himself directs Philip to go and join that chariot. This is an amazing act of God's sovereignty. God is really in control, but he is looking for some yielded vessels. Can I get an amen, church? Yeah. Amen. God knew exactly when to send Philip because he orchestrated the plan. That's why. So Philip runs to catch the chariot. And this could seem a bit awkward. I was kind of thinking this through. It's like, just hear me out. How would you react if you just traveled from a far place to worship God, right? First of all. Only to be made to have to worship with a few stragglers in the parking lot. You couldn't come in here, right? You just had to be out there. Oh, I love God. I come from a far place and I can't come in, right? I'm just like, okay. Then on your way home, you on a dusty road, right? And then some random Jewish guy, one you couldn't worship with, right? That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, what? Some random Jewish guy runs up to your limo while reading the part of the Bible that you don't even understand. And he says to you, do you understand what you're reading? I mean, like, how would you react to something like that? I would hope we can learn something from the Ethiopian eunuch. He did not let his church hurt, per se, overcome his hunger for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, we know that there's church hurts, right? We know that happens. But praise the name of the Lord. Don't let that overcome your hunger for God. Amen. Hallelujah. At Philip's arrival, he hears the man from Ethiopia reading the scroll Isaiah. Not just any place in Isaiah, but Isaiah 53. We won't take the time to go through all of that. Or wait a minute. Oh, we could. Look. let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. let's go. Praise the name of the Lord. I got pastors. Go ahead. He said, go. He said, God, that's what I'm trying to tell him. Go. Go. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53. You know what? Let's kind of read through that to get a little context. I don't want to just snippet this. Let's just start at 53 verse 1. Right? Man, because this was good. And you'll be able to see the portion that's in there in that scripture that's read that the guy was reading, the Ethiopian eunuch. So who has believed what we have heard? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him. No appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet, he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we, in turn, regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him. And we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Right? Let's continue. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth like a lamb led to the slaughter. And like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man at his death, although he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Praise the name of the Lord for the reading of his word and just hearing that. The meat in this section here of Isaiah is the innocence of Jesus Christ and him being put to death because of the wickedness of mankind. If you wanted to just wrap that up in a nutshell, that's what that's about there, right? I'll go ahead and repeat that. It was about the innocence of Jesus Christ and him being put to death. Hallelujah. Wow. And it was because the wickedness of mankind. That's each and every one of us without Christ. Each and every one of us. Let's turn back to here. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Somber moment, but praise the name of the Lord. Let's turn back to our text in Acts chapter 8 and look at verse 33 real quick. Verse 33. So we could just kind of see it, say it right there. It say, in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth, right? Verse 33 seems to beg us to ask the question, what type of generation could kill such an innocent man? What type of generation could kill such an innocent man? I'll tell you what kind. A wicked one. A wicked one. A wicked generation. What a perfect place for the gospel to be presented, right? But hold on to your seats. The gospel presentation does not come just yet. As we will see, it pays off to listen while you're witnessing. It pays off to listen while you're witnessing. The unit asks the perfect question in Acts chapter 8, 34. And what did he say? The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about, himself or another person? I'm quite sure it could have possibly been for the Ethiopian eunuch after reading through there. Some parts he was probably looking at and was like, man, is that about me? You know, because the way he was being rejected, couldn't come and worship, you know, and certain, you know, trying to fit himself into the scripture, which would be absolutely wrong on that note because it wasn't him. But I would be able to understand him starting to have that thought process. Look at the question, you know. I ask you, who was the prophet saying this about, himself or another person? He didn't say many other people. He said another person. So I thought that was quite, you know, interesting there in that. So I'm going to find my place here. Okay, yeah. How many of us know? How many of us know that it's about someone else? It was about someone else. Who is that someone else? Jesus. I would have hoped I heard everybody say that at one time. Who is that someone else? Jesus. That's someone else, right? So room number three, the call to missions requires us to share the gospel. To share the gospel. All right. I'll look at verse 35, just 35 here. So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. So who's grateful that God prepared your heart to receive the prepared heart of an obedient servant that answered the call to missions, sharing the good news about Jesus to you. Who can actually say that they are grateful for that? That should be each. Thank you. Amen. I got one. I got two. You know, like. we all should be grateful for that particular person that stepped out, that emptied themselves and got filled up with God's love for mankind. Amen. That's why we're not witnessing. That's why not. That is why not. Because it's that pride that getting away, right? It's that pride. You know, so thank God for the one that stepped out and shared that with you. Thank God for that. Whether if it was a parent, you know, a family member, a friend, a pastor, right? A Sunday school teacher, maybe. Someone in missionary ministry. They could have been the one. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. Last but definitely not least, the stranger. What about that person? Has anyone in here have given a life to the Lord and it was because a stranger witnessed to you? Anyone? It may be some and it may be some online. You know, that stranger perceived the call to missions, then followed God's lead, trusting him step by step and sharing the good news. And that's beautiful. Could you imagine the joy of Philip as he considers how much God so loves the world? He was out evangelizing a mass number of people and gets sent to this one person. I know that just would have had to do something to Philip. Like, wow, Lord, you love the world that much. To go get this one. Kind of like leaving the 99, right? All right, thank you, Lord. So, wow. Very interesting here. Very, very interesting stuff. Oh, what a God we serve. Amen. God led him straight to this man. The Lord was working in Philip's life and no doubt working in the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch. No doubt. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That was happening. Did you also notice in verse 35 that God does not need to tell Philip what to do next? He was getting instructions all the way up to this very point. I caught that. I was like, oh, Lord, that's beautiful. He opened up his mouth, and out comes the gospel, right? Beginning from that scripture from Isaiah. Therefore, we have reason to believe that Philip explained who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And praise God for that. I like to believe he also explained that we are all sinners and just as guilty as that wicked generation that put Christ to death. Amen. We are. But God, let's pick this up. But God, by his grace, has made forgiveness available through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 What a chariot ride, huh? What a chariot ride. This Ethiopian had heard the bad news and now embracing the good news. From a human fleshly perspective, this Gentile Ethiopian eunuch from East Africa, who by all intents and purposes seemed unredeemable. He seemed unredeemable. He was from a cursed people that served pagan gods. He was not Jewish. He wasn't even half Jewish. He wasn't even a Samaritan. He was a eunuch, which denied him full access to the temple. Lastly, he was on a lonely desert road heading straight back to his pagan land. Man, it looked pretty bleak there, right? But what should we glean from this section? God, number one, God is the initiator of salvation. God is the initiator of salvation, right? It was God that had placed his affection upon this lost soul. And yet this may be still, I believe, a minuscule view. I believe God had his eye on the whole continent. Hallelujah. The whole continent of Africa. God love is so amazing. So amazing. And this is why we are called to missions. Now let's take a peek at God's providence here. As soon as Philip led this man to trust Christ as a Savior and Lord, they drive alongside a small body of water, right? In verse 36, it says, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And a eunuch said, 'Look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" Right? The exclamation point to me just tells me that the Ethiopian had a great joy in his heart. That's it. We got to pay attention to those things in the scripture, right? So what was your emotional status after your conversion? Have you been converted? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you part of the body of Christ? Were you excited to get baptized if you are saved? Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh yeah, praise the name of the Lord. But if you gave your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask the question, have you been baptized? There's many that may say that they gave their life to the Lord and have not been baptized. Now, I know that baptism does not save you, right? It does not. Don't let no one tell you that. That's absolutely false. It doesn't save you. Although, I will say this, it is the next step or act of our obedience yes. to the Lord. Yes. Amen? Yes. And that's only if you're born again. So don't go get dipped into some water and you haven't given your life to the Lord and think you're saved. You don't get baptized by water, natural water, to come into the body of Christ. You're baptized by who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. You must become a part of the body of Christ and then go get the water baptism. That's your next step of act of obedience. Amen. So verse 39, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." We're not told this, but I would like to think this man kept reading Isaiah. If he read just a few more chapters, if he did, he would begin to read Isaiah 56, 3 through 5. Wow. "And this may have caused this man to stop the chariot again and let out a shout of praise and maybe even dance like David danced." Yeah, or kind of like the videos we saw that Doug Lay put up last week. Let's put it like that. Amen. Amen. He probably would have done that. In Isaiah 56, 3 through 5, and you do not have to turn there. Man, are we getting there? Let's see. No, boy, I want to get there. Oh, I'm going to just share that portion. 56, 3 through 5. "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Now hear me out here. I'm quite sure that the Holy Spirit would have spoke to him and let him know that all he need is Jesus. You don't need to fulfill no laws. We keep it straight here at Faith Bible Fellowship, right? But the very thing is that, remember, at this point in time, now Philip then got transported to somewhere else, and he on his way back, and he's still reading the Word of God. I believe he would have kept on reading the Word of God. He was doing it before Philip came. I would like to believe he was reading it after Philip left, even more so at that point in time, and I think we'd have kind of ran across something like that, and that just would have probably excited him, you know. Hey, hey, man. So number two in this section is God is a God of all nations. The Bible does not tell us, but tradition has it that this man went home to Ethiopia sharing the gospel, and many in that land became followers of Jesus Christ. That's the tradition. I would like to believe so. He seems so excited about the Lord. He traveled so far before he was even really a Christian, right? To just go worship the Lord in Jerusalem. It's just hard for me to believe that he did not share the gospel with people. It seems as though God began a good work in this Ethiopian eunuch and finished it, you know, into the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just like all of us, right? So isn't it absolutely amazing to see how God works? Amen. Here is an account of the gospel being received by one foreigner. That's one foreigner that seemed excited enough to take the gospel back home. God is a God of all nations. And let the nations be glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's be willing to get up and go as God calls us to missions. And let me give you just some practical ways real quick. Parents, you could start right in your home, right? Sharing the gospel. That's kind of like your Jerusalem. Your extended family and your extended family members and friends, that's kind of like your Judea or Samaria. You know, just keep stretching it out in a sense. You know, neighbors, co-workers, wherever you go, golfing, swimming, weightlifting, whatever you go do, extracurricular, yeah, that's kind of like getting at the uttermost parts of the world, right? Kind of like that. You know, like, we know we can go further out, but the thing is, that's if you start doing these things, you definitely will have a heart for further out, because that's what God tends to do, expand us, right? Amen. You be faithful in the work that he's calling you to do, and he will take care of you, and he will expand. I believe he'll expand that work as you be faithful to him. Amen? Amen. And here at Faith Bible Fellowship, guess what? Thank God. Been faithful. Faithful sharing the word of God. Faithful in getting the gospel out. Faithful in really giving to missions. Praise the name of the Lord for that. But since the day of Pentecost, God has been empowering people to share his gospel, right? And he will continue to do so until he gather up his church. Amen. Amen. He will. So last week we heard something from Brother Doug Lay, and it just kind of stuck with me, and I just kind of want to throw that in there. I just have to just be reminded of this very thing. All can pray, most can give, and some can go. All can pray, most can give, some can go. All right? So just a little recap here. The call to missions requires us what? To listen and follow God's lead. The call to missions requires us to trust God step by step, which is really the walk of faith. That's what it is, right? Uh-huh. So, and number three, the call to missions requires us to share the gospel. It does. Amen. So here's the application. I'm using someone I like again, that Adrian Rogers. This is something that he said. The gospel is simply glorious and gloriously simple. I was like, yeah, that's good. The gospel is simply glorious and gloriously simple. We need to keep it simple, guys. We do. The gospel simply put in three statements, kind of like what he said, and I kind of threw something else in there, just one little piece, but I am a sinner. That's the gospel right there. I'm a sinner. That's that Romans 3:23. Christ died for my sins, right? He died and was buried, rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, right? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, right? We're dealing with that. And then I am saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9. Let's kind of keep it that simple. I mean, it's just that simple. Sometimes it seems complicated, but really it isn't. So praise God. I pray that we all would, you know, just draw into the Lord and really just, as the song said, give ourselves away to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this is the charge right here. The charge to the believer and a challenge to the unbeliever. Christian, share the gospel. Just share the gospel. Unbeliever, believe and accept the good news, the gospel. The only message that can give you eternal life with Christ. In the words of our brother Doug Lay, anyone that can predict his own death and resurrection, then pull it off, is someone worth following. Amen. Amen. We serve a God like that. Amen. Amen. So now, if Christ be God and died for me, there is no sacrifice that I can make too great for him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for making us a part of your family. And forgive us of our disobedience to the call to your mission that Jesus so perfectly executed. You want us to listen, follow your lead, trust you step by step, Lord. You want us to walk by faith and to share your gospel. Help us to do so, Lord, today. And all the days that you give us on this earth. Sovereign Lord, position us somewhere today or this week that we can glorify you by telling others about the eternal life that you give. Give us the opportunity to share with them the message of knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you sent. Let the heart, mind, and obedience of Christ be in every believer in this local church and your universal church. Continue giving us opportunities to glorify you through sharing your gospel. This is why you created us, to bring you glory.
Yes.
To bring you glory. Place upon every pastor that you have called the undeniable joy of glorifying your every time they preach, Lord God. Everyone in the body of Christ that you'll call with the different gifts, that they will have the undeniable joy of serving you, oh God. Sharing the gospel is our work. This is what you have given us all to do, to be ministers of reconciliation. This is our call to missions, your mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah.